and you'll see what fate does.
Good evening. We are the tour group from Pacific Baptist Bible College, Long Beach, California. My name is Seth Rall. I'm a recent graduate with a degree in pastoral theology.
Hi, my name is Kristen Ross, and I graduated with an education degree.
Hi, my name is Priscilla Campa. I'm a junior studying education.
My name is Scott Garzone. I'll be graduating this coming fall. At the piano, we have the wonderful Aaron Martinez. He'll also be graduating this coming fall.
Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible. No matter what it was, faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. If there's a mountain that stands in your way, from all you can see, it will be there to stay. God said with the faith of a small mustard seed, that mountain will move. Believe and you'll see. Believes the impossible, receives the incredible. No matter what it was, faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. Faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, receives the incredible. No matter what it was, faith moves the unmovable, proves the unprovable for anyone willing to trust. Believe and you'll see what faith does. Believe and you'll see what faith does.
Master of time, he holds the world in his hands. He looks from heaven, sees where you are, arranging your life in his plans.
Preparing you now, unfolding the way
to all your tomorrows and whatever you face. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on.
Dreading tomorrow, it seems. Embracing the present, forgetting the past, giving up on your dreams.
You're standing between your faith and your fears.
Yet no matter the conflict, the future is clear. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely in the land of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether it's joy or it's sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never
of the great unknown. He's already in your tomorrow. Don't be afraid to keep pressing on. He's already in your tomorrow.
His destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said,
when your kingdom comes, remember me.
In paradise, the day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who've gone before. One said, friend, how did you come? The deeds that you have done. With tears in his eyes, I can hear the thief reply,
there are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim.
He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. Come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. I have nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till this glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed my sin away. And what he did for me that day was the price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say, forever say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way. I see millions gathered round the throne from every kindred and tongue. Those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As they cast their crowns down at his feet, this will be their story. This will be their song. I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's the suffering of God's Son.
Song number 118 this evening, song number 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. As you find that, please stand your feet.
as we sing song number 118 this evening. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You're singing well on the last. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Thou make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Good singing, you may be seated.
We're missing out on the good life, according to men of degree. We're missing out on life's normal pleasures by standards of worldly belief. They say we're too narrow, we should learn to just let go. We're all missing out somehow. But when I think of their claims and the pleasures they name, well, I admit I have missed out. I've missed out on the heartache of living my life in sin. I've missed out on the sorrows of facing a world without Him.
And I have no regrets for the things that I missed, 'cause down deep in my heart the truth was and is, every day
that I live, I thank God for what I've missed.
And this world is concerned that Christians were missing out socially. They say at our stand and the book in our hand, it's not right politically.
But we cannot deny one thing they've got right, it's true. We have missed out, I've missed out on the heartache of living my life in sin. I've missed out on the sorrow of facing a world without Him.
And I have no regrets for the things that I missed, 'cause down deep in my heart the truth was and is,
every day that I live, I thank God for what I miss.
Every
day that I live, I thank God for what I've missed.
Amen. That. Sorry, we've got a microphone malfunction. And so thank you, Martine. The Martinez kids reunite. And I give a special tonight from all over the place, so thank you for that. Thank you for the Pacific Baptist Bible College, too, a group that came and sang for us and traveled all the way up here. And we appreciate you spending your Sunday here. Preached to our teens this morning. Brother Ross did and sang for us this morning and tonight. And we appreciate that. That's where Aaron Martinez is going to Bible College and entering senior year. And so looking forward to that. And we're very blessed by our young people and watching them live for the Lord. And I think we're kind of getting a testimony of that tonight by our young people with Youth Conference and the testimony of what God did on their heart this week and our youth workers. And it's you'll never regret living for the Lord, young people. Amen. You never regret it, not for 1 minute. You'll regret living for the devil for sure. You'll never regret living for the Lord. So thank you, young people, for your testimonies and youth workers for going all the way there. And for Brother James for taking the brunt of the bus collision on the forehead. And so thank you for getting things fixed. It's not a youth trip without a bus breaking down. And so thank you for getting that back on the road and all that as well. And we're looking forward to the preaching time tonight. Brother Ross has been a good friend to us. He came and preached our teen revival years ago. I didn't look up the year, but it's been a number of years ago. If you remember our Cars theme that we did, and he preached that, I don't know how many years ago it's been, 7 or 8 years ago maybe, and it's been a bit, and he's been a good friend to us, and we're thankful for the church and for Pastor Myers and Brother Mrs. Ross for your faithfulness. So would you come and preach for us tonight and get your Bibles in your hands and get ready for the preaching time this evening, please.
Thank you, Pastor Becker, for your the privilege to come and be in front of your people here. I love Pastor Johnson, and he's been a big blessing to me personally and to my family and, of course, to our church. We have better marriages because of him. He comes, he's been many times preaching and teaching on to our couples, and our couples love him. And anytime that our young people hear that he's coming to our youth conference or preaching anytime, they get really happy because they love hearing Pastor Johnson and just his faithfulness here. I remember meeting him the first time when I took some young people up to college days there at Golden State, and I met Pastor Johnson, and then I got to know a little bit about the church here, thank the Lord. And then when he decided to retire, I heard Pastor Becker was coming up and became the pastor, and I was happy for him, and just homegrown here, worked with Pastor Johnson, and just knows the mind that he has in leading the church into just a new stage. And I thank the Lord to hear that the church is the same. It's not changed. It's going the same way, and I appreciate that. Judges chapter 2, we thank the Lord. Pastor Becker, thank you for the hotel, and it's really nice. It's right by the Sacramento River flowing down there. As I open my window, I see that river, and I just think, man, I want to go hit that river and just fish it. I love fishing. I love the outdoors. Brother Martinez took us out on the lake yesterday. Thank you, Brother Martinez and the family. They got us all the snack, and Mrs. Martinez made an amazing tri-tip. I usually don't eat tri-tip much unless we have different sauces and stuff, and I didn't eat anything on there. It was seasoned just right, and it was great. I'm tasting it right now, and thank you, Mrs. Martinez, and thank you for allowing Aaron to come to college. He teaches my son piano, and he's doing a good job. Yesterday, my daughter sent me, yesterday, he was preaching at the rest home and singing and to one of the rest home ministries we have, and he played the piano, and I watched it, and I thank the Lord that he's using his talents for the Lord. And Brother Martinez here, Aaron's been a big blessing to him. Our college, we've been teaching, and we've been having the college for quite some time, and I love our college. It's a little bit I'm a little bit biased because I'm from there, but I love our college. Our college, it's not a big college. I don't apologize for that, but it's a college where everybody's pretty tight-knit, and we teach our young people the Bible, but more importantly, we give them a good Bible foundation, but more importantly, we teach our children, our young people, to love God. Not only love God, but serve God. You see, all these young people here, more than likely, I teach an adult Bible class, and many times we get visitors, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Becker, and the bus workers are bringing them, the adult visitors, and then they're following up on them. We have one family on Seth's route. His name's Jaime in that family, and he went on to knock on their door for about 9-10 weeks, every week, him and his workers, and finally he started coming. He got saved. They got baptized. They joined the church, and they come and every week driving in. And you hear that, and you see that all the time with the college students there. We don't just teach them just to go out and do it. They go out on the weekends and during the week to go do it. Sunday, we had a junior and senior high activity. I'm sorry, a junior and senior in high school activity. And we had the junior and senior class there at my house. They played board games. We ate. But afterwards, I guess Aaron rushed over from work, and he was there and just got on the piano. The kids start singing. They start having a good time around the piano at my house. And you see that all the time. I enjoy that. I enjoy our children and our young people just serving the Lord and be a blessing. Our church, we emphasize a lot on worldwide missions. We have so many missionaries out of our church out serving the field. Matter of fact, I just got back on Tuesday early in the morning, just got back from Guatemala. And I've taken our young people to Southeast Asia. We've been to communist countries. And I decided, hey, let me take a small group. We're going to go to Guatemala. One of our graduates, one of the guys that got saved in our ministry, trained in our ministry, and went out there. And he told me, Pastor Johnson, he said, Brother Ross, we don't have a lot of people. I said, man, you've been here 4 years. Don't worry about it. Okay, just we'll help you. Soul winning, going out, knocking on doors, visiting. On Thursday night, he had about 40 in Bible study. Friday, he had, 23 young people for youth night. And then Sunday, they had about 60 people there. And just growing in the Lord and just loving the pastor there. He's doing a great job. And we have those stories all the time. I pray and I hope you think about serving God in Bible college. And if we can never be a blessing to you, come and get some information. We want you to go where your pastor wants you to go and to do God's will. So having said that, Judges chapter 2. In verse 1, Judges 2 and verse 1, we'll read here together. Thank you again, Pastor Becker, for letting me speak here. And Pastor Becker said about 8 o'clock, is that right? You guys are finished? No? No? Okay. I'll be done to save time. Judges chapter 2, and an angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go out of Egypt and brought you unto the land which I have sworn unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with inhabitants of the land, and you shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. You have not done this. Wherefore I said, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but ye shall be as the thorns in your side. Their God shall be a snare unto you. By the way, if God tells you to get rid of something, it'd be wise to say, Lord, here it is. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, and the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of this place Bochim, and they sacrificed unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. In verse 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. In verse 10, it says, and also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers. And there rose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which was done for Israel. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you bless this time, Lord, these next 15, 20 minutes I have with these dear people. Help me to challenge them, Lord, from your word. And we pray, Father, that you bless these next couple minutes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are many different subjects that preachers would preach on. Some preachers would preach certain subjects for months and sometimes even throughout the year. I love teaching different subjects in our church and during my Sunday school class. I love teaching on certain subjects. And sometimes I go and say, okay, we're going to teach about for 2 weeks, and it ends up being about a 2-3 month a series. I love preaching. But some preachers, they preach, they like to preach different things. But if you had one subject to preach that was super important, what would the subject be? What's a subject that you could preach over and over again that I believe is one of the most important subjects that a preacher could preach? What would it be? Would it be soul winning? I'm glad we, in our church, we have an awesome soul winning program. And our church pushes soul winning. This church does the same. We have people getting saved just about every week. We have people getting saved, people getting baptized. This morning, I got a text message. I said, hey, we got three people ready to get baptized. And usually I'll go to the back and I'll help with baptism. But I got that this morning. But I love soul winning. But without this topic that I'm going to speak about today, our army of soul winners, little by little, disappear. You may say, oh, prayer is important, and it is important. Prayer is asking, and prayer is seeking God and talking to God, and we ought to learn how to speak to the Lord. We have a lot of people come out to prayer meetings every Saturday, 9:30 in the morning. Our church, we have a bunch of people coming out for prayer meeting. Teens come out for prayer meeting on Thursday. We have different prayer meetings after chapel in our church. We think prayer is important. But without the topic that I'm preaching to you today or about to preach to you in a little bit here, we'll no longer have anybody to pray. My heart's in missions. I love missions. I try to go to the mission field at least once a year. I love missions. I love especially the 10:40 window. I love our missions program at our church. We have close to 100 missionaries that we support in our church. We have 12 family units. We believe in missions. We have 12 family units that we've sent out from our church, not for missions trips. They're no longer a part of our church. I mean, they're part of our church as when they come to the States, they're here. But 12 family units that have left our church, and they're on the mission field right now. We have our two eldest assistant pastors left and went to Southeast Asia. We've had our former vice principal went out and to the mission. We have 12 family units. Those 12 family units and their family would be a good-sized church. But they went out, and I love the mission field. I love going to see the work and seeing the people. It breaks my heart to see the condition, but it brings so much joy when I see so many people getting reached. But without the subject I'm going to teach you or to speak about today, we'll have no more missionaries from any churches going out. I love the Bible. I love the King James Bible. I'm glad Pastor Johnson, Pastor Becker, they've taught and they've preached about old-fashioned Christianity here and biblical standards. I love all that. But without what I'm preaching today, maybe we won't have a Bible. For sure, we won't have the King James Bible being preached here, even in this church. I love spiritual discipline. Just like athletes, they get up and they follow a schedule. I love spiritual discipline. I live by schedule. I wake up a certain time. I do a certain things at a certain time. And I'm very scheduled. I love that. But if what I'm speaking about today is not applied, people won't have the spiritual desire to have that. The subject I'm going to preach today and to teach about today that needs to be preached all the time and emphasized all the time is reaching and keeping and preserving the next generation. It's important. I've been the youth pastor at our church for about 30 years. I've been the youth pastor. I don't know if there's a youth pastor that's been a youth pastor longer than I have here in California. I'm not sure. There may be. And I love young people. My heartbeat is young people. I have an adult Bible class. I've overseen the bus ministry. I've done the church finances. I've done the bus mechanics, Brother James. I've done all, if you name it at the church, I've done it. But one of the things that I've never given up, that pastor's never taken away from me, is the youth. I believe in the next generation. When I go into the mission field and I see these young people that are in the youth department, that I had a chance in one way or another to touch their lives and to direct them the right way, and I see their families and I see their children growing up, and some of their children are old enough to be in the teen department, now I'm thinking, praise the Lord. I love the next generation. We need to hear it all the time. The world, the flesh, the devil, it's like a virus that's getting stronger and stronger. And in 2025, sin is rampant everywhere. It's so accessible to everybody. If we don't even have to go out and look for it, we'll find it. We as Christians need to do all we can not to get infected, and especially not get let down the next generation for them to get infected. Sometimes young people, look up here real fast. Sometimes you hear pastors speaking and preaching hard against different things and telling you stay away from it, and you don't understand. When I was younger, I didn't understand some things. And I remember as a young youth pastor, I would do things. Pastor said, Nathan, we don't do that. This is what we're doing. And I don't understand. He said, you don't understand right now. But when you have children later on, you understand. I have two college students, a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old. I understand why we have set up different parameters that we set up back in the day. 1 John 2:16, the Bible says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is out to destroy young people. I love to hear from our church when we get text messages. We have a staff feed, and we try to go over all the blessings of the week, and we're in the business of spreading good news. And we say, hey, this person got saved. I'm working with this person. This person came to church. Hey, we've been visiting these people for so long, and they're here today. Or this person got saved. And we try to sharp each other. And we try to urge each other to do right, and as staff members to help each other to say, hey, something is going on. I love to hear about our young people and their love for the Lord. I love it when people send me pictures of the young people at the rest home and bringing visitors to our church. I love it to see young people praying. I love all of that. Our teens are memorizing verses. They're seeing people saved. We get new bus kids. I appreciate Brother Dan. He works with our bus kids. And in staff meeting the other day, hey, we have about three or four new prospects for our Christian school from the public school. Trying to get them away from that environment into a good environment. And these guys work hard, and they raise money for these young people to be in school, to get them out of the cesspool of the public school. I love to hear these bus kids wanting to serve God. I had one bus kid, he came to my office, and we sat there, and he's a new guy. He's been coming to church less than a year. He said, man, Brother Ross, I'm ready to go to the missions trip. I've been saving up money and praying. Man, I'm excited about it. I want to do something for the Lord. And he's in the afternoon program. Today we started our afternoon program officially, and we had a gym full of just bus kids. And they're serving in that area. And I see those pictures, and I love it. I love it when I see teenagers teaching Sunday school and proclaiming the Word of God. Teens loving God, loving people, making an impact, serving in the ministry, loving the parents. When I hear that, I'm thinking, yes. You might say, oh, my kid's got a great job. Well, I want my kids to accomplish something that's awesome, that's great. Let me say this, parents. If they are not in the will of God, and doing what God intended them to do. I hate to say this, it doesn't matter how much money they make. It doesn't matter how, whatever the position they have, they're going to be miserable. We're not about, my son is off drugs. I drove down this road over here, about 2 miles down, and I my heart broke when I saw a bunch of people roaming around looking like zombies. I'm thinking, oh, my soul. We have people like that in Long Beach, and we try to reach them. We try to get them to come to church. Some people have been saved, and you know, you see that your heart breaks. My heart's broken when I see that. You say, why? Sometimes when I'm driving around Long Beach, I see homeless people. And I remember seeing a homeless guy, and I saw him. I went by, and I called him. I said, hey, man, come here. He said, Brother Nate, what's going on? He used to come to our church. Homeless. He got a backpack. He said, man, I got a cellular backpack right here, or a battery-powered, solar-powered battery backpack where I could get my phone charged up. I don't need electricity. He's going around pushing a shopping cart. And I said, hey, man, you need to come to church. Get back in church. Get back in church. But some parents are about, oh, as long as my kid, especially in the Asian community. We have a lot of Asians in our church, and in our area, we have a big Asian community. You say, why are they called Asians? Because we don't want to be Asians. We want our kids to get A's, so that's why they're Asians. No Asians, just Asians. That didn't go real well. Sorry about that. Wow. But in our culture, school is big. 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 Man, you got to get straight A's. You got to do this. You got to do that. I mean, man, it's big. And so many of our families sometimes emphasize education. They don't emphasize God's will. We're not about young people making a lot of money. We're about young people serving God. Seems like all we want is kids to get an education, good education, make a lot of money, live a comfortable life, not get in trouble, and everything's all right. Live the American dream. Don't get me wrong. The American dream is nice. I'd rather be in America. I just went to Guatemala. It was rough. I went to Communist Laos. It's rough. I've been to Vietnam. It's rough. I've been to Thailand. It's rough. I've been to Cambodia. And the filth that these kids grow up in, and just no food. And young people, 12 years old, one hand over here with another little brother, and the other hand with another little brother, walking around begging for food. I've seen that. And I love that I'm an American. I love being in this country. My culture's Khmer. But I'm an American. I love being an American. I love this country. But let me say this. My goal is not to live the American dream. And your goal, my goal for my children is not to live the American dream. If they have that and God gives them that, that's great. My goal is that they do God's will. If your child is not doing God's will, they will never be satisfied in life. We're losing so many kids in our independent Baptist churches because preachers quit emphasizing God's will. They emphasize prosperity. I went to Guatemala, this village I went to, it was not good. I go to my hotel, there's guys with M16s, I think it's called M16, ARs and handguns, and we're getting up, and our missionary, Brother Luis, he says, by the way, the cartel owns this hotel, so you'll be all right. Nobody's going to mess with you. I'm like, okay. At night, you hear bang, 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 bang. I get up, go, what in the world? I look outside. I said, man, did somebody just got shot outside or some bunch of? He said, oh, no, they're fireworks. People's birthday. They light all air at night. I'm thinking, good night. Good night. But we're losing so many young people, and people push money. There's a guy, his name is Cash Luna over there. His name's Cash. He's a Spanish pastor. I mean, we drove by. He said, look at that church. It looked like the Staples Center over there in L.A. It's just a big facility. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? You know what he's pushing? Money. Money. So what do we do? How do we see the next generation go on for the Lord? I've been the youth pastor for about 30 years at our church, and we've seen so many people. And today, I'm just going to show you real fast some things that we do. Number one, we must continue to see God do great works. We must continue to see God do great works. And in the word of God, and the people serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua and had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. These young people saw what God did. Let me say this. You see two people getting baptized today, and you see people going out, and you see the great things happening. Let me say this. Don't stop that. Sometime a church, as we get older and as we get more established, we get complacent and say, hey, I don't have to do that much. People are coming. We have a big crowd that comes Sunday morning. Let me say this. Do not stop. Keep going. I'm glad God has blessed our church in the past. And I've seen going to church where people were, the gangs came in. I remember we had a basketball league. And we were playing. And the rival gang is a Hispanic gang. It's called Eastside Longo. A bunch of them came in. They started slapping girls, punching guys. And I remember, I'm thinking, oh, here it goes. I was in high school. And my buddy was behind me over here, Brother James. And the guy came, big old guy, bald head, tattoo on his chest. And he didn't have a shirt and just saggy. And he came, he just cocked back, and I was up front. And my buddy came to behind me to use me as a human shield. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. Now, God didn't, my parents didn't raise a fool, so that when somebody punches you, what do? You duck. And the guy was using me as I ducked, and boom, it got him right in the face. His face looked like yours right after he got. And I mean, man, that was our church. That was our church. I saw one of my friends get shot on the church parking lot. On the perch, he's playing basketball with a handicapped guy on a wheelchair, and I don't know why he played him, but he played him, and we're right outside. And I see a hand come out, and boom, 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 boom. And I hear, ah! The guy leaves. We get to pastor's office. The handicapped guy in the wheelchair got there before we got there. How that happened, I do not know. But one of our guys, he's a pastor now in the Midwest. But I've seen all that. And I've seen God work a miracle through our church. Some of our kids don't see that. They've never seen that. My kids, they've never seen that. They've never seen us under a tarp in our church. Not a tent, a tarp. We had a big-time preacher come in, and it was raining. Water was coming, and it was raining outside and inside. I say, why? We couldn't afford anything. And we used a tarp, and I saw the beginning days there. It's called Cambodian Baptist Church, and we're struggling and talking about buses breaking down. We didn't have the privilege of buses breaking down because we didn't have money for a bus. And I saw the evolution of our church, and little by little, God started blessing. We have a magnificent building, beautiful property now. And sometimes I tell our young people, don't miss out. We have a gymnasium. We have a gym now. We have a cafe. We have a bookstore. We have classrooms. We have, in our classes, we have a little boards that a TV board with, I mean, some high-tech stuff. Thank you, Obama. Biden, the rescue plan, we got some of that. But we're high-tech now. But I tell our young people, don't forget where we came from. Let's keep doing what we've been doing. Let's keep serving God. And we need to see God's hand and God's blessing. I thank God that our church, we have nice buildings, but we have bus kids all over the place. I'm always kicking, hey, guys, you don't belong in here. And they see me, oh, man, there's that guy, that mean man. And I'm just telling you, I don't want, in my office, people trying to get in. I say, you guys, don't be going to steal my stuff. Come on, go steal pastor's stuff over here. And we have them sitting upstairs, and man, just so many of them are growing in the Lord. But we must continue to do great things for God. Not only that, number two, we need to constantly emphasize the next generation. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm 49 years old. That's not old. Pastor went soul winning. They thought he was 51. Praise the Lord. The other day. Hey, actually, pastor looks really good for being, what, are you 82? I'm sorry. it goes a love offering. It does look real well. It looks really good for being his age. But I'm trying to make it with, I'm trying to be nice, Pastor. I better quit. I better quit. But we need to constantly emphasize it. I don't know, the older people that's my age or old, we're not going to be here too much longer. We're not. If we don't leave something for the young people, this church right here, this great church, is going to be gone. Our church was a brethren church, and I remember we bought it from the brethren, our property right now. We opened up some room, and they had some kind of time capsule. The church that we were at, Pastor, they used to run buses. They had a building program, and they were building, and we saw the new drawings that they wanted to do. Somewhere down the line, somebody lost some vision. Somewhere down the line, it was left just a couple of people. And somewhere down the line, that church died. You say, why? They quit emphasizing the next generation. They quit emphasizing the next generation. When you make decisions, church, let me encourage you. Think about how it'll impact the next generation. I've been to churches where they have a lot of people come in and they have their rock concert thing and they have the lights and they have their worship people singing and everything like that. And they might get a lot of people. And you might get some fruit. But our pastor said this, and I like what he said. He said, they're getting fruit, but they're tearing down the orchard. Emphasize the next generation, the decisions that we're making, parents. How is this going to impact my children and my grandchildren? How are these biblical standards that I'm letting loose, how is that going to impact the next generation? A lot of churches are changing their music, their dress, their worship style. They don't have soul winning anymore. Let me encourage you, church, don't change. Don't change. I've been the youth pastor a long time in our church. I'm the oldest assistant pastor now. And I was the youngest staff member in the church at one time. I think I'm the oldest staff member now, other than our pastor. And I've seen churches in my time serving the Lord, strong churches in our area, they start compromising. They start wanting to be hip, and they lose their young people. I had a guy, he graduated locally from the college next close to our church there. And he came, I showed him around. He said, man, Pastor, he said, man, you guys are preaching standard and using the hymns and doing all this stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, that place you go to, they don't do that anymore. That was just in my mind. But I wasn't being critical of them or anything like that outwardly. But he was saying, how do you do that? Pastor, I just told him, we just preached the word of God. And we haven't changed. And I said, people are starving for old-fashioned Christianity. Lastly, I'm done. Parents, you need to have some personal responsibility. There's a lot of young people here. I've been to churches where there's just a lot of older people, I'm sorry. There's a lot of younger people. There's a lot of energy here. Brother James does a good job song leading. I appreciate his energy. But parents, we need to have personal responsibility. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Parents, be the spiritual leader at the home. Be the spiritual leader. Set the agenda. Raise your kids. Teach your children. Let me say this, men. Be the fathers you need to be. Sometimes people say, man, Asian people, the women run the home. Not in this home. Not in this home. Okay? I love my wife, and my wife is a better Christian than I am. But I set the spiritual mode in the home. Men, be the spiritual leaders in the home. Parents, be spiritual leaders. Don't let your children dictate the spirituality in your home. Oh, I'm sick. I don't want to go to church. We're going to church unless they're, you know, contagious or something like that. If they catch COVID-25 or 25, yeah. But be the spiritual leader in the home. Support the biblical teaching of the Word of God. Look, we have a Christian school. I used to be a teacher. My children are just like your children. Dad, you know what this teacher did? They gave me the badge. I said, good, you deserve it. My children know I'm always with the teachers. If it's one of the assistant pastors or something says something in class and they don't agree with it, I said, no, you need to go talk to that teacher and you need to shut your mouth. You say, why? I want to work with the pastor. I want to work with the teachers. I'm not better. They're helping my children. If I go and I criticize the pastor, I criticize the teachers, guess what's going to happen? Your kids are not going to listen to that teacher, not going to respect that teacher anymore. Now, as a parent, you go and you can talk to the authority privately. But let me say this. Back up what goes on in the church. Back that up. Support the biblical teaching and the word of God here in this church. Put your kids, and on that, lastly, point your kids to the will of God. Parents, point your kids to the will of God. I had a parent. I remember the daughter was a senior. She wanted to go to Bible college. And she said, she came to me, Brother Nate, can you talk to my parents? So I really want to go to Bible college. I did. I'm sorry, she was a junior. I did. I went to go talk to a mom. I said, ma'am, I'm here to talk to you. Your daughter wanted me to talk to you about Bible college. And she listened. She said, Nathan, thank you for that. And I said, they want to do God's will. She said, Nathan, thank you for that. She said, how about my will? So I'm glad they want to do God's will, but I want them to do my will. I walked out of that house feeling very, very uneasy and just sad. My heart broke. She wanted her kids to get an accredited education, to go to accredited school, to her children to be doctors and nurses and lawyers and stuff. She took them out of our school. Those two kids that she had, the oldest, they were doing phenomenal. Right now, one's a homosexual, and the other one has had three husbands, and two set of children from two different guys. And then the guy that she's with right now is not her husband. And every time I see them, I'll go by and visit them, try to get them back to church every once in a while. I can think of the time and mom cries, hey, can you help my children? And I can remember the time I went by and I can remember the mom saying, I want them to do my will. Parents, be careful what you want your kids to do. Make sure you point them to God. Amen. Lastly, I'll say this. I'm done. Teens don't do the will of God because of four reasons. The pulpit. You don't have that problem here. Preachers don't preach on doing God's will anymore. Number two, peers. Be careful who you have your children hang out with, parents. Be careful. And if I say this, I'm wrong. I apologize. Listen to Pastor Becker. I don't let my children go to church sanctioned activities. I do not. If they want to go to a friend's house, either my wife or my two oldest daughter will go with them. They don't go to unsanctioned church activities. You say why? I don't know what they're going to do. I want my children, their best friends, to be mom and dad. I want their best friend to be the pastor. I want my girls, their best friends, to be the assistant pastor's wives. Now, I'm not saying my children don't have friends. They have friends, but let me say this. Peers will get your kids not to do God's will. So we got the pulpit, we got peers, and then we have parents. Parents just want their kids to live the American dream. And then lastly, prosperity. This right here has destroyed many young people. It's destroyed many young people. Let me say, parents, don't seek security for your children. Push them to God's will. A couple of months ago, I sat up. It was a Saturday. Went to bed on Saturday. On Sunday, I got up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I sat up. And I was just sitting there, just thinking. I took my son to a missions trip with me. I was preaching at a youth conference in communist Laos. I took my son with me, and he came back, and he said to me, "Dad, I feel like God's calling me to this area." He's 17 years old. And Pastor Johnson, I felt kind of empty. I'm like, man, I want my son to be in ministry, but I want him to be right here. So I've been preaching and I've been teaching and I've been getting, you know, I don't know what God, he's 17 years old. We're still praying for it. But I had this like, wow, I'm not going to see my son anymore. And God smote my heart that day. And it's like the Holy Spirit was talking to me about 4 o'clock in the morning as I'm sitting there. My wife's sleeping right by my side there. And almost tears were coming down my eyes. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "You've been preaching. You've been pushing this. And now I'm going to call your son. And you're trying to avoid it." I remember that night I gave it to the Lord. I said, "Lord, my son is not my son, he's yours. I'm just a steward. Whatever you want him to do." And we have so many parents that hold on and try to live to say, man, I want my kids to do this, that, or the other. And as a parent, we want the best for our children. But as parents, let's release our children back to the Lord so they can do their God's work. The next generation is big on my heart. Young people, they're big in my heart. Because we won't have a church. This church, this great church, won't be like this in this area unless you emphasize and spend a lot of time. When I heard about them going to youth conference, so Levi over here wanted to be a missionary, and this young lady right here wanted to do that, brought so much joy. You say, why? There's nothing like doing God's will. Parents, encourage your children and push them to do whatever God wants them to do. Let's pray together.